So today, we will be exploring prayer. And to illustrate the power of prayer, I want to show a short video. So let's watch. I still laugh. I can't tell you how many times I've seen this video. A friend of mine sent it to me a couple of days ago, and I was, you know, exploring prayer, and I thought, that is what prayer does for me, right? Life might feel like doing push-ups, which at times it does, but then when I pray, there is this boost of energy, and I'm lifted up. You know, life is just a little easier. And what we're exploring today is called affirmative prayer. It's a form of prayer that is used in the New Thought movement, and Unity is part of the New Thought movement. And Eric Butterworth, a Unity minister, defines prayer as follows. He says, prayer is not a matter of begging God to change things. You know, we're not beseeching. We're not begging. He says, it's a matter of changing our own consciousness. So we do our own work so that we recognize and express the divine qualities already within us. So affirmative prayer, we affirm what is already there, what is already present, right? So that is, it's based on the teachings of Unity, because Unity has the premise that there is one divine consciousness. You know, there's one divine consciousness. And, you know, that is so big. Every time I think about it, I know that the mind, the human mind, cannot comprehend it, because the human mind is part of that divine consciousness, right? So I want to say, don't even try, or don't feel bad when you go like, hey, I can't wrap my mind around that. But just contemplating the idea that there is one divine consciousness, I can feel my mind expanding. You know, there's an expansion I feel, and then we recognize the qualities of that divine consciousness. And those qualities are experienced by sages and seers and practitioners right here, by people who have had near-death experiences. They say there is a love that is so deep, that is without any expectation or judgment, is just so pure. There is a peace beyond human understanding, right? There's power, there's strength, there is a knowingness, there's wisdom. And that is that divine consciousness. Now, everything we know, we see and we don't see, has come out of that divine consciousness. Now, think about it like this. Think about divine consciousness as a bar of gold. And then we can melt down the gold and we can make different shapes out of it, right? We can make a ring or a bracelet, we can make a ball, we can make a vase, you know, we can make anything we like. And all these different things have different functions in the world. But they're all still gold. And they all still have all the qualities of gold. And they're the same with divine consciousness. So everything has come out of that divine consciousness, including ourselves. You know, let's bring it home. Including ourselves. So that peace beyond human understanding, that love without judgment, the strength, the wisdom, is right here. It's right here within us. So in affirmative prayer, we affirm that truth. Right? So that's what Eric Butterworth says. It's a matter of changing our consciousness, changing our perception or our perspective, so that we recognize and express the divine qualities already within us. Now, you know, the teaching, the practice of affirmative prayer is really powerful in our own lives, right? I've seen it. It's like, for example, I have a bookkeeping business, I get a new client, and I notice this pattern within myself because the finances can sometimes be quite complicated, which I actually love, but there, you know, because that's where the fun is. But it's like, but there comes a point, but there comes a point that I reach where I go like, I can't do this because I don't get the whole picture. You know, I don't get how the puzzle pieces fall together. And now I've learned to go like, no, let's take a breath. The wisdom is right within me. The clarity is right within me because that is the divine. And so I'll have great clarity while working on this client's books. And lo and behold, it's like literally in a couple of minutes, I will see the next step. Now, that might be get some information, you know, or it might be like, oh, these accounts fit together, but it always shifts for me, you know? And so in so many ways, it's helpful when we go back to prayer within our own lives, right? But sometimes issues are just too close to us. You know, it's like, I said in first service, it's like, when something is going on with my child, it's really hard for me to get centered. You know, I do my best, but usually I can text a friend, you know, and just go like, hey, this is what's going on. Can you hold this in prayer? Just because it's so close to my heart. So we're here for each other. You know, my friends and I are here for each other to support each other because we all have that. You know, they have things where that's too close to their heart. You know, and then I will show up for prayer. In my opinion, that's truly why we're all on the planet together, to support each other. It's not about us doing it all by ourselves. You know, so we have our friends, and then we have community. And it's really important that we pray within community. Because when we pray in community, it strengthens the community. You know, some time ago, I read a book on pastoral care. And it's a Christian book, and they were talking about the church community and the congregants, you know, that they offer pastoral care to each other by being Christian friends. Now, if I would translate that here, I would say, like, we can be unity friends to each other. And what that means is that, you know, I might not hang out with every person in this room, although with all the activities going on in unity, we probably do. But, you know, but we might not come to each other's houses. We might not know every detail of each other's lives. But what we commit to is that I will hold the highest about you. You know, I will see the highest in you. I will see the gold in you. No matter what is going on. And you know what that creates? First of all, creates a safe space, right? Because I might not always be my best. And so I might show up in a way that might not be so great. But if I know that the community can hold me and that they will see the truth about me, then it creates a safety for me to learn and to grow. You know, because in safety we can grow, right? It also creates compassion. Because when I can show up with my mistakes, you know, I'm much less likely to judge you when something comes up, you know, because I just have been there myself. So, you know, so it creates compassion in community as well. And so we create this beacon of light. You know, and that spreads out to the world. It spreads out when we practice that in community. Church community is really a great place to practice things. You know, when we practice that in community, we take it out into the world. We can take it into our work, even if people don't know, you know, that we're holding them in the highest. Doesn't matter. They'll feel it. You know, it makes a difference. So then, of course, we can take it out even further. You know, we can pray for the world. You know, a minister said once, actually Michael Beckwith said one time, just take the newspaper. The newspaper is your, or the news are your prayer requests for the day. Right? And so it's an opportunity to really affirm the truth of our being no matter what is going on. That doesn't mean that we're denying what is going on, you know, because we still need to show up. It makes a big difference if I show up seeing the highest in the other person or seeing the highest or affirming the highest in the situation. It's very different, you know, how I show up then than if I'm full of judgment, you know, or opinionated. And an amazing example of that that I am experiencing actually is when I was at the Parliament of the World Religions in August of last year in Chicago. There was a group that's called Praying Together in Jerusalem. And this is their definition, this on their website. It's like, praying together in Jerusalem is a movement whose participants believe in the power of side-by-side prayer to bring friendship, respect, and ultimately peace between people of all faiths. And so what they did, they would come together at a meeting place in Jerusalem, and it would be like Muslim and Judaism would be represented, and Christianity and Hinduism and Sufism. And, you know, there would be like every meeting, there would be like maybe 2-3 speakers, and they would give perspective from their religion on a particular topic. And then at the end of the meeting, they would all pray together for the highest and best for everyone. So there would also be prayers from the different religions. And then, you know, the war started, the Israel-Hamas war started in October of last year, and they decided to meet every week. And so they meet every week, and it's on Zoom. You know, they meet, I think they still meet in person once a month, but every week it's accessible on Zoom, and they meet for an hour and a half. And their focus is the human dignity, the dignity of the human person. And so they're exploring the topic of the dignity of the human person, first of all, what it means, and then how we put it in practice through the lens of the different religions. Again, you know, the ones that I've seen and listened to are like Hinduism, you know, Islam, Christianity, Judaism. And there are some differences in perspective. So at one point, there was a Muslim speaker, and then there was another speaker, I forget from which faith, but the other speaker just had a slightly different perspective. And after the presentations, there's always a time for questions, and, you know, the speakers will answer. And the person who was Muslim said, like, wow, I never looked at it this way, but I just heard. And I have a little hard time reconciling that with myself, but I will work on it. And, you know, since the organization is right in Jerusalem, you can imagine, you know, the emotions that are, you know, that are present during the presentation. You know, people from all over the world join the Zoom meeting, but it also means that people in Israel join it, and also, you know, people from the Gaza Strip join. And so in their sharings, you know, and at some point it was like a person was saying, it's like, yeah, I'm presenting it and I'm hearing the bombing going on, you know. Or one meeting, it was like the presenter said, like, yeah, yesterday we just buried this great friend of ours, you know, who was killed in the original attack, you know. And then just to keep a couple of weeks ago, there was a man from Gaza who was just expressing, you know, his grief and desperation of all the things that were going on there. And emotions are high. And then everybody takes a breath. And then we go into prayer for the highest good of all. We might not have answers, you know, in that moment. But what stands out for me is that everybody, or at least, you know, everybody who shows up is willing to go to that place of seeing the gold in the other and at least be open to possibilities. So we can pray for the world, and I know that this is not the only organization who does that. You know, so we can give our gift and join and participate. So affirmative prayer has a particular structure. And the structure is actually really helpful to know. And so I'm going to give affirmative prayer 101 in the next 3 minutes. And and with every spiritual practice, you know, you need to know that this might just be a teaser for you if you're new to it, because we don't know a practice till we actually do it, right? When we do the practice, when we follow the spiritual teachings, then the secret of the practice actually reveal themselves to us. You know, that's how we can go deeper. Words I speak today, you know, you might understand totally different a year from now, just because you have more experience in prayer, right? If you have practiced affirmative prayer for a long time, you know, just stay present and just let yourself be inspired. What I noticed is that when I started reading up on it, this is a beautiful book, by the way. It's called Discover Your Divinity, A Modern Guide to Affirmative Prayer. It's by two Unity ministers. It just sold out in the bookstore this morning, but we will have more next week, okay? And they really describe the steps of affirmative prayer. And what I noticed is when I started reading the book, it's not so much that it was new information, but it was like I was dusting off my practice. It was really great. I became so enthusiastic. I was like, yeah, prayer is the best. You know, so, okay, so here we go. Affirmative prayer 101. Before we pray, there's a moment that we need to prepare ourselves. Right? We prepare ourselves for prayer. And that doesn't have to be elaborate. You know, when I'm working behind my computer and I get a text from a friend that they want prayer, I might just move to the couch. I work from home, so that's hence I have a couch. And so I might just move to the couch, and just that shift, you know, prepares me to drop into my heart and do prayer. And sometimes it takes more. You know, you might want to light a candle, light some incense. Sometimes I need to go for a walk, you know, to kind of get myself grounded. But you want to prepare yourself to be open, to let the grace in. Remember, with affirmative prayer, we're only recognizing what is already there. We don't have to make things happen. So we open ourselves to the grace. And then we get clear on purpose. You know, what are we praying about? You know, what is the purpose of our prayer? Okay, if we don't know what the purpose of our prayer is, then we're kind of all over the place. So what is the purpose of our prayer? And then we go into recognition. And in recognition, we recognize what is already so and what is expressed, how it is expressing itself in the particular situation. So let's practice for a moment. Close your eyes. So we prepare ourselves, right? Close your eyes. And my purpose is, let's say I feel somewhat unsettled and I want to experience peace. So I start with the first step. It's like recognizing that there's only one divine energy. One divine energy that is peace beyond human understanding. A peace so deep and vast, so restful. And since there is only one divine energy from which all has come, that divine energy is within me, and therefore that peace beyond human understanding is within me already, right here, right now. And I recognize, I declare that that peace that is within me is now infusing all the cells of my body. It's just lighting up the cells of my body. It's like the peace is just, I'm just filled with peace and it's overflowing. It's overflowing like a fountain and it touches all who I come in contact with and all that I do. That peace is already mine right here and right now. Take a deep breath. Open your eyes. How was that? Yeah? That's great. Right? So that was, you know, we did the preparation, we found our purpose, we have the recognition of the divine, the bar of gold, we unify ourselves with it, and then there is the realization. And then we go to gratitude. That is step number four. We know that when we practice gratitude, it really amplifies anything we do, right? It amplifies the good. So we just have recognized what is true for us. Now we come from gratitude. We're so grateful that we get to participate in this creative process. We're so grateful that a peace is already right there within us. It's already present. And then the last step, step number five, is we let it go. We release it. Because, you know, if you're a gardener and you plant a seed, you're not going to dig it up every day to see if it's growing yet. Yeah. It's not really effective. So with the prayer, we just planted a seed and we let it be. We might water it, you know, affirm it, but we're not digging it up, right? So we let it go. So that is affirmative prayer 101. And, you know, and what I really want to encourage you is to take it on. You know, pray every day. It is simple. It doesn't have to be an elaborate prayer, but just those five steps. You know, just go through them every day and just notice what it does for you. But I also want to give you a few more pointers about it that might be helpful for you. And that is, the first thing is, it's like, you know, what I just described is the structure of the prayer, right? A structure is helpful. So, for example, when I was taught the affirmative prayer, we were encouraged to pray for parking spaces. They figured we probably could demonstrate that fairly easily and would encourage us to pray. And so, but what I noticed within myself was kind of bizarre, but I would be in a parking lot and it would be full, and I, you know, knew that I could pray for a parking space, and I would feel so resistant to doing it. It was like, ah, no, I don't want to pray. So 10 minutes later, I'm still driving around in the parking lot, and I still don't have a parking spot. And so the trick for me was, like, just start with step one. Just start recognizing the divine. And so I would do that, and I go like, okay, there is only one divine consciousness, you know, that is of the form of love. And then once I started, I already felt better. It was amazing to me. Just starting with the first step made a difference. And often, before I finished the second step, I had my parking place, and then I would have a reaction like, but I didn't do realization yet, to say, you know. But it was already there, right? So structure can be really helpful, and that's how we need to look at it. But structure is not all of it. You know, it's like what is important is that we are in our hearts, that a prayer really comes from our heart. You know, a story that I heard really illustrates that to me. It's like once there were two monks and they were living in seclusion, you know, by a lake. And they had been there for years doing their spiritual practices. And the monastery was across the lake. And the abbot one day went like, hey, these two monks are there, and I actually haven't checked up on them for a while, so let me go and visit them and see if they're doing well. And so he brought his attendant, went into a rowboat, they rowed across the lake, they, you know, reached the monks who welcomed them with great love, and the abbot says, like, can you just show me how you pray? So the monks show him how they pray, and he goes like, oh no, that's totally wrong. It's like, you're not using the right words. You're not using the right structure. Let me teach you how to pray. And the monks were very willing. And said, like, oh, by all means, you know, because we really want to know how to pray. So he described it all, and they practiced, and they got it. And so the abbot goes, like, so did you get it? Yes, we got it. And so he went off back into his rowboat, and the attendant was rowing. And they're just a little bit offshore, and he looks back, and he sees these two figures on the lake coming towards him. And he tells the attendant, it's like, you know, stop rowing for a minute. And soon enough, he sees that there are the two monks. Remember, he's on the lake, walking on the water to his rowboat. And so the monks come to his rowboat and they go like, I'm so sorry, you know, to interrupt your travels, but we started to pray and all of a sudden we realized we couldn't agree on the sequence of the words. And we really want to do it right, you know, so can you tell us again? And the abbot looks at them and goes like, never mind, you're good. Right? So what it is like, yeah, structure is important, but the monks were praying from the heart. You know, some months ago, Reverend Christian told this story from Craig Braden. He has a fabulous book on prayer. And Craig Braden tells the story that he's in North New Mexico, and it was in the 1990s, and it was a terrible drought. Actually, so long that in history, they couldn't even remember that it ever had been so bad. And one day, his friend Dave from one of the pueblos calls him and says, hey, I want to go to the ancestral site in the mountains and pray for rain. Do you want to come with me? And so Craig says, yeah, fine. This is a true story. And Craig says, like, yeah, fine. And they hike through the sage and they come by this, what looks like a medicine wheel, you know, with rocks being having been put down, you know, hundreds of years ago. And Dave takes off his shoes and steps into the circle and acknowledges the ancestors and then just folds his hand, closes his eyes, and stands there for a minute. And then the minute is barely over and he opens his eyes, steps out of the circle and goes like, I'm famished. You ready to go eat something? And Craig goes, like, what just happened? I thought you were going to pray for rain. So Craig had this idea that there would be some dancing and there would be some chanting, but none of that happened. He just stood there for a minute. And so his friend Dave said, he's like, no, I wasn't praying for rain, because when you pray for something, you're already acknowledging that it's not there. And so you're actually negating what you want to bring about. He said, I was praying rain. And so Craig asked him, so what were you doing? And he says, when I stood there, I felt the earth under my feet that was soaked because of the rain. And I smelled the rain that came down off the roofs of the pueblo. And I could feel myself walking through the cornfields. And the corn was chest high because there had been so much rain. And so when we pray with feeling, we pray with our senses. It's not a mental exercise. You know, it's like sometimes they talk about the fire in the belly, which I love that expression. You know, when we're really in it and we can feel it and we can smell it and we know that it is true. And if we can't get there, then maybe our purpose for prayer needs to be something else first, so that we can get there, right? The last story I want to talk about is the purpose of prayer, which is really important. And that is, in 2008, I was in my first year of practitioner studies, and in December, I got noticed that my brother, my older brother, who was living in Holland, is still living in Holland, spoiler alert, was diagnosed with cancer. And most likely it was stage 4 cancer and that the prognosis wasn't very good. Now, my brother is not spiritually inclined, and I had learned about affirmative prayer and really wanted to pray. But I know that I couldn't really ask him about it because it probably would agitate him more than support him, you know. But I still wanted to pray, and I really had to think about what the purpose for prayer would be. And the obvious thing would be that I would pray for physical healing. But when I was thinking about that, I realized it's like that might not be what he wants. You know, he might not want to stay in the body. He might be ready to go. And if I pray for physical healing, then it's really to, you know, is for selfish reasons, because I want him to stick around. So I had to let that go. And then I had to think about sex. So what do I pray about? And I thought, you know, the divine is whole. So I can pray for his wholeness, however that will show up for him. You know, in the years past, I've seen it. It's like people who just shed so much of their, you know, trauma or their beliefs and just could embrace that incredible love. And that is what I prayed for, you know, or that is what I affirmed was his wholeness. In whatever way it would show up. And then a couple of weeks after that, you know, we heard that he had stage 1 cancer and that it was easily treatable. But what was the best gift for me is that when I went to Holland in January and actually met with him, I didn't have an agenda when I met with him. You know, I just wanted to be present with him and just listen what was going on for him. And he said to me, he says, "You're one of the few people I'm willing to talk about my cancer, with whom I'm willing to talk about my cancer, because most people I talk with, they try to fix me. And it doesn't help." Right? So we don't always know how the power of prayer shows up for us or for someone else. But just know that when you pray, that it makes a difference. Your contribution makes a difference. If you see it in that moment or not, it doesn't matter. Just your willingness, if it is for yourself, if it is for your friends, if it is for your unity friends, if it is for the world, it makes a difference. So I encourage you to make it a daily practice, one way or the other. Okay? Thank you. Let's do our affirmation. I commune with the divine through the gift of prayer.